Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. It's the 18th of December. 2025, 7 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are diving into business and economic segment, and this is a platform that we discuss international trade and everything that is related to bread and butter issues, from a small business owner, middle business owner, to an international corporation. We look at state agreements, and also at the end of the day, what is necessary and what we mostly look at is at what is that high level meeting, that high level agreement, that convention that you pray so much, what does it has to do with an ordinary person on top of a donkey to go and fetch water deep down the village? Because at the end of the day, the conversation must always be brought back to that of who is on the ground and the citizen who is at the edge of the economy of the country. Yeah, and before we go to the conversation for today, it's quite very important to look at what are some of the development particularly happening in the continent of Africa and also in Namibia. There have been some development, and it was indicated that in terms of establishing a mission abroad, a diplomatic mission abroad, the president has also appointed professionals, former technocrats, and also career politicians to lead Namibia foreign policy abroad. And before we go there, it's also quite very important to look at Nigeria, and we can come to the communication from the presidency and the appointment of those who are given the responsibility to go out to the world so that they can fetch water and resources for us, so that they can bring us opportunities, so that they can advance Namibia interest abroad. But let us look at Nigeria first. It was indicated that Nigerian authority rescued 100 out of 300 students which were abducted by militia. That is over 2 weeks ago. Because we'll be able to remember that on the 21st of November, 2025, a group of armed militia abducted more than 300 students from, St. Mary School in Papiri, that is northern Nigeria, in Niger State. And maybe also be able to remember that President Bola Tinubu at one point declared state of emergency and gave instruction to the authority, particularly the search and rescue, the military, and also the intelligence of Nigeria, to make sure that those students are brought back home. And there's also something that is also stated by the Pope of Catholic to say, the Christians must be, or those who are abducted must see the light of the sun and must be able to return to their house. But it was stated that out of those 300, 100 of students were brought to the Nigerian capital, Abuja. And there is no clear information to say what method the authority have used to get 100 out of 300 these students were abducted. Either it's negotiation, or either it's firepower, either it's military, but the fact of the matter is that they have returned, and still more efforts need to be done for them to be brought. I'm bringing this on point because we are always discussing about trade, and at the end of the day, trade has to do with, particularly in the continent of Africa, security is one of the major area that investors are looking at, and also trade partners are looking at. Imagine you have a client in a Niger state, and you are sending tons of grains there. How sure are you that the business will be successful if you do not know if tomorrow he's going to be home or he's going to be abducted? Because even at that point, even Christian pastors, they are also abducted there. But as the security should and must be at the center of every leader's discussion, particularly national leaders, because it's not only militia, so also political unrest. And also coup, or what they call coup d'etat, that is overthrow of government, of civilian government by military, which is undemocratic and is putting us down as a continent. So that is one of the things. And remember that African Union put on the table the need for support, especially the support of the institution, the African Union, when it's coming to security and also fighting of violence within the continent. Yeah. Now, let us look at what is happening at home. Let's look at what is happening at home. It was indicated that the presidency, or the president of Namibia, that is Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, has officiated the commissioning ceremony for newly appointed diplomats or head of missions at State House Windhoek. And some of these appointed diplomats, we see the ambassador to the Federal Republic of Nigeria is Mr. Valde Natangwe Devashia. He's a well-known politician and a former governor of Anguena. And if I'm not mistaken, at one point he was the CEO of Inanna. And you know, in politics, you can live many times, or you can die many times in politics, but the comeback is what matters. And we understand, because you know, when it's coming to intellectual capacity, it's coming to ability to do the job, I understand our president has trust and also given that responsibility, particularly looking at Nigeria being a very big country, not only in terms of population but in terms of resources, but looking and assessing, you'll be able to realize that she was able to look at the ability and character of a person, how you'll be able to secure that job, and wish those tasks will be accomplished accordingly. The second one on at the Kingdom of Belgium is Dr. Alfredo Hengari, who was appointed to the Kingdom, is ambassador to the Kingdom of Belgium, head of mission, and he's well known as a political scientist and a former spokesperson or press secretary. This well-known in academia, international affairs there, and is sent to the Republic, I mean to the Kingdom of Belgium, that is where to represent Namibia. The High Commissioner to Republic of Zambia is Gomes Menete, is a new commission, High Commissioner there. And you also have Miss Ndiakupi Mituamata, High Commissioner to the Republic of Ghana. And in that point, I think Miss Tuamata is a known technocrat and known as executive director there within ministry. I don't know if it's agriculture, but he's a well-known technocrat. It's up to you to go and check. But that is an appointment. And looking at ambassador to Egypt is Wake Miuko Upendula Mupia. And it's an ambassador to the Arab Republic of Egypt. And you have David Thomas, ambassador to Republic of Zimbabwe. And this ahead of mission, high commissioners and diplomats sent to represent Namibia, particularly in the times of needs. And what is very interesting is also that when it comes to those who are appointed to represent Namibia, it's always very important to make sure that what is really the meaning of appointing somebody, and also what value does that person add at home? Because at the end of the day, that of who is sent outside is to make sure that you represent the country, not only in meetings, but also to look at what is your country need. What is your country need in terms of value addition? What is your country need in terms of absolute poverty eradication, which is needed with immediate effect? What is your country need in terms of coherence of policy? What technical advice and also a lesson you can learn from the outside? And also in terms of issues of cybersecurity and also new challenges in international affairs that can also assist Namibia. Because if you have a very strong diplomatic front, there is no way that you are going to get it wrong. There is no way that you are going to get it wrong, because what you need at home can be brought to you, and you can be able also to learn from those who are given or charged with the responsibility of making sure that when it comes to Namibian interest put first, and at that point things will be achieved successfully, particularly at the time that Namibia put a lot of plans on the table, and we are yet to see the realization and also the implementation of these plans. Yeah. And the conversation for today is not far from what has been presented, because today we are going to look at the barriers to Namibia full participation in Africa Continental Free Trade Area. We are going to look at those barriers to see what are some of the barriers for Namibia to fully participate in Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Today I got an opportunity to attend the regional engagement, particularly from the Minister of International Relations and Trade. And the conversation was around engaging business people to partake in, Africa Continental Free Trade Area. It's a market with over predicted $3 trillion, and with over 1.3 population, and where power lies in, or power and strength lies in integration. The success of Africa Continental Free Trade Area is seen to be one of the things that will be able to secure the economy of African states, and also strengthening the power of corporations. However, also need to look at the reality on the ground, and also to see, do we have a real relationship between business people? Because I have engaged few people, but one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is that we have a real relationship between business people. Do we have a very clear plan between small and medium enterprises, and also middle and also larger business to partake in Africa Continental Free Trade Area? Because it's one thing to formalize something, and it's also one thing to say, do we really have people who are ready to partake in Africa Continental Free Trade Area? And when they are partaking to Africa Continental Free Trade Area, how sure are we that they are not going to be absorbed by well-established corporations? What values are they going to end? Are we going to, what is the differentiating factor between Namibian small business or Namibian well-established business with the African continent at scale? Who is our competitor? Who is our competitor in the continent of Africa? And it's also quite very important also to look at some of these barriers, because when you compare the African market with European market, there we are secured because we are selling raw materials. We have been secured at that period, but we wouldn't compete at one-on-one with EU when we start sell what they sell. But when it comes to Africa, you need to go deep and ask yourself to say, for example, in Namibia, how many people can confidently say, stand and say, when they open those borders, when we sign Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, my goats, my chicken will be eaten in Nigeria. The clothes which I'm making will be worn in Ghana, Egypt, and also Ethiopia. The money which I have in my account will not be stolen because of stronger trade infrastructure. That is why today we are going to look at two things, only two things, and dissect them to say the barriers of the known barriers to Namibia fully participation in African continental free trade area. That is trade infrastructure, number one. Number two, institutional incoherence. Trade infrastructure and institutional incoherence. What is very interesting is that before, I think it's quite very important to start with trade infrastructure. Because when you come to trade infrastructure, then we can go to institutional incoherence. Because when you come to institutional incoherence, you will also be able to realize that there is somebody who is working at a different institution. But when you meet with this person, you are doing almost the same and exactly the same thing. Or there's somebody, let me say somebody is working at NAMRA and somebody is working at the Ministry of Trade and somebody is working at the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy. It could be that the functionality of those professions could be the same, but it's only that you're not in the same institution. Then that is where we are going to look at the issue of duplication of duties and the barrier of effective administration of AFT. Now, let us look at trade infrastructure. What trade infrastructures do we have to make sure that we can fully participate in African continental free trade area? Yes, we have the port, our railways, are not up to standard. If our railways were up to standard, we wouldn't be able to have thousands of trucks on the roads. Even now, when you are traveling to the north or to the south, to the coast, the barrier for you to reach there on time is trucks. We are not saying we do not want trucks, but that is showing how far you are in connecting or in linking to the African market, particularly with not too effective trade infrastructure. What you also need to look at, when you look at trade infrastructure, they don't only become infrastructure when they are transporting, goods, but in business, there is products and services. Sometimes you need a person to move from one place to another person. You need a consultant. We need a consultant, like, for example, we need Kajengo to go to Nigeria and consult on mining and, or other things. That is, services. And you need and we don't think about these things. Now, how do you go to Africa continental free trade area with incomplete infrastructure? In terms of the roads, we are the best in Africa. But in terms of transportation, how are we going to cope with that? And at the center of that is the system used for African continental free trade area to be effective. Now that in the statement of African continental free trade area, read together with African Agenda 2063, free movement of goods, no tariffs, and free movement of people are at the center of those documents. What is very interesting is that now, who are you going to trade with? Which bank are you going to use? What system are you going to use? At what pace are you going to move into that? Let me put it out here to say there is a system called Pan-Africa Payment and Settlement System, which Namibia is yet not a signatory to. And that is, I think, one of the things that, BON and other institutions, they still did not do well when it comes to that. And that is the only thing I can say, the outgoing, leadership of BON did not really push to, apart from other things that they did well. But that Pan-African Payment and Settlement System will connect Africans together, will connect African banks together. We can also be able to first to make it easy to trade with your local currency. Because It stated that the study which was done by Standard Bank Africa indicated that Africa lose over 5 billion a year because of trade with the third currency. This time is the US dollar. It's trading with the third currency. However, that is how much is going to be saved when we agree to use Pan-African payment and settlement system. Now, when you look at that trade infrastructure to say, are we ready? Do we have enough system in place to make sure that we are part of that? Other countries such as Kenya, Rwanda, they are part of that system. But how do we speak about 40 participation in African Continental Free Trade Area if we could not be able, if we could not be able to, you know, to become a signatory to, you know, Pan-African payment and settlement system? And the question that we need to ask ourselves is that who are you offending when you become part of that? Because somebody will lose money and you will gain your freedom. But that is the gamble that we need to take, because if you want to fully participate in African Continental Free Trade Area, you need to make sure that you make bold decisions. Because in Namibia, where the problem is that we can't move forward if we want to praise everybody. We need to make a bold, strategic, economic decision which is beneficial to an ordinary person on the ground. That is saving that money and use it to something else. Yeah, now, while we are there, it's also quite very important to look at, apart from trade infrastructure, so to look at the systems that we are using. We praise technology so much, and I don't want to be a technological illiterate. We praise technology so much, but one thing that we need to ask ourselves is that, do we really know how to use that technology? Can we fight online? Can we defend ourselves online? Because we can have a very strong developmental plan, but if we are not strong in terms of technology, if we are not strong in terms of utilization of AI, because I've seen somebody was already complaining again, AI was used to manipulate certain facts. And it's not the first time. If we are not able to control that, how strong are we in terms of, how literate are we in terms of not only computer, but in terms of high level of technology in general? Because one of the things that the Deputy Minister of International Relations and Trade has mentioned is the efforts of ministries such as ICT, trade, the agency NAMRA, and also Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, efforts to bring platforms such as e-commerce to allow for the utilization or facilitation of African Continental Free Trade Area. The question is that how many of us can raise our hand and to say, I understand the use of technology, I cannot be manipulated, and I know how to protect my money in my account? Because nowadays, 1 million in your account is money to go, or is money yet to be lost if you are not careful enough, just by one call. But how are you going to deal with people from the West Africa who understand technology very well, people from the East Africa who are going to engage with? Are business people not going to cry? Because at the end of the day, you cannot go to war when your country is not in order, when you have hunger. That is why one of the things that we should look at is that we don't really need to say, no, we don't want African Continental Free Trade Area. But we must be honest enough to say, out of 100 business people in Windhoek, for example, how many of them are going to benefit from that? How many of them are going to benefit from that? If we open our border, can we compete and withstand the competition? Or everything will go down? How strong is our trade infrastructure? We should not stop moving forward, but we must be honest to say, is the situation of poverty in Namibia going to change once we get in there? Because everybody's getting there, which is quite a very good thing to get there. But do we have a house in order? If you are going to play against Barcelona, and we are already fighting, who is going to be a captain? Who is going to be a wing? Who is going to be a defender? And we also do not know who do we have on the bench. And we also do not know, you know, who can be able to take a penalty. We need to make sure that we have a team in order. Yeah. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are speaking about the barriers of Namibia to fully participate in Africa Continental Free Trade Area, and also things that we need to do, particularly to move forward, and also some of the challenges and incomplete tasks, such as Namibia becoming a signatory to Pan-Africa Payment and Settlement System, and also weaker or no trade infrastructure, particularly transport in terms of railway, and also when it comes to people, because the full document of Africa Continental Free Trade Area is not only about goods, but also about, you know, people, free movement of people. How are we going to handle them? And also, is this going to change the situation on the ground? The other thing is incoherence of institution, and it's undeniable that we have incoherence in terms of institutions, because we must thank the founders of Namibia public sector in the early 1990s. We must thank them because the system was effectively working to that time. But how transformed is our public sector and the formation of institutions? What are some of duplications of duties that have been overemphasized, but nothing have changed? How many institutions do you have to go? Because one of the argument, and it has been a stated fact to say, when people speak about the registration of a business, they have to move to 20 offices before you are fully registered, just for practical example sakes. And there is a proposal to have one stop shop there. But that is not only, it's not only the end. It's not only the end. You still have, incoherence in terms of, trade institutions, incoherence of trade institutions that, you need to relook at before you fully partake in, African Continental Free Trade Area. I understand the functions are well defined, to say the Minister of Finance can partake, you have the trade and so mines and energy. But today when I was looking at presentations from the Ministry of Trade and the presentation from the Ministry of Mines and Energy, I was asking myself to say, man, these things are almost the same, but they are not really the same, but they could have worked together. But what is the link here? How long is going to be in terms of the process? And also, can really somebody who is well capitalized, let me say, is in the business of making clothes, well capitalized, given money, deep down there at Ohangwena, for example, but is functional with employed people, can this person really partake in Africa Continental Free Trade Area, or is it just a form of consultation, formalization? Because these are the questions really that we need to ask, because things must speak to an ordinary person on the ground. Now, I was looking at, there was a presentation based on some of the programs that have been done to say, diamond cutting and polishing. And my question is always, why Namibians, we are always reduced to diamond polishing and cutting? Why discussions are not being brought up about the real minerals? Why discussions are not brought up about real minerals and our participation in those minerals? Why are we reduced to small-scale miners? Why is it so complicated to get closer to the real resources that you can partake in? why it's almost impossible when I want to say I want to venture into oil and gas as an ordinary person. Just me, David, to say, man, I want to enter that business. I study that business. I look for capital. I went into that. Why is that difficult? People are pushing you out to say, not me. Why is it like that? Now, the question has always been, something very interesting happened today. I always ask about the sustainability of something. What is the sustainability of subsidizing, for example? I'm always asking. Now, somebody from, I think it's, don't like calling people somebody. I think it's the head of communication at the investment board. They gave a brilliant presentation. And in that presentation, what is very interesting is that there was a presentation on projects that the board successfully, a project that the board have successfully brought about, and also the amount of money. Now, one of the things is that there was a presentation of one is Bengera Blue Aqua Farming of 10 billion, and the investment value of those investors and our investors, they used 10 billion in investment. Then what interests me is Kelp Blue, that with an investment of 100 million, that is located in Ruderes Caras there, with a creation which was launched in 2022 with a job creation of 40 people. Now that is in the sector of agriculture. And what was stated is that no, this one is you have seen what have happened on the media, but it was supposed to be a point of discussion to say, where did we go wrong as a country when we attract investors but we did not look at our laws clearly? You attract investors, they brought 100 million, but your laws are still a colonial laws, or is blocking people to expand. Now people are leaving. The CEO is going, people are losing their jobs, but it was Namibian opportunities. And I want all the economics to at least go and study that to say, now, attracting investment is not a problem, but the sustainability of the business is a problem, or the sustainability of that investment can really be a problem. Why do you bring so much money in the country, but you cannot sustain it? The institution is collapsing, it's going down. There was a time I interviewed the CEO, and I don't want to say he was crying, but that is what is on the table. I'm not rooting for anybody, but the fact of the matter is that let us do something which can be long term. Maybe it's a lesson that we can learn to say, you start something that at least going to be long term. What is the sustainability of that? You know, this year we have been praised for attracting investment. Global Records, Trade Intelligence Report, praising Namibia to be number one in terms of investment attraction. But the main questions that we are asking is that money only going to be in our country, touched by a few people, or is going really to benefit? Can I really feel that there is 10 billion US in my country? Can I really feel about that? And who is it that is that money coming into? Because it's only three projects which were presented there were successful, and one with question marks. Then my question has always been, where are we going in terms of business? Where are we going in terms of business? Especially if we have institutions that need really to work together, but also really need to look at the laws that govern those businesses. And this also brings us to public and private sector forum, which was held to say what suffocate people is policies. What suffocate people is policies and laws. What suffocate people is policies and laws. And for how long are we going to do that? Now, the other thing that we also need to look at is that, looking at the current situation of our parliament, a bit of imbalance in terms of absolute power or power to make fast laws. Have we found the formula of passing the laws in Namibian parliament, or we are just going to wait? Because if we are not asking that question, we are not going to move. Because that is where the problem is going to be. Because you can't move without having strong lawmakers who can pass laws, effective laws, but fast laws. Because if a head of state is complaining about questions after questions, which I also complain about, how are you going to affect African continental free trade area? So yeah, it's 42 minutes past the hour of 6, and you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. Good evening.
You can engage us in the studio.
Good evening.
Good evening, my brother.
Yes, how are you?
I'm alright, man. Sorry for the radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I free trade.
Come again?
You're talking about the free continental trade.
Yeah. Can you partake in that?
Yeah, I think for us, like we are jumping in the ship, and really we are not really prepared that anytime maybe there will be a fault with the engine, and we need a safe what to call this safe one?
Life saving quarter.
Yeah, exactly. I just want.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at a giant like Nigeria.
Yeah.
South Africa, which already dominating our market.
Yeah.
You talk about even like Ghana, even our neighbor here, Angola, will be swollen by the sharks.
You know, my question is that what are you going to sell, or are you just going to buy?
Exactly, that's the point.
What are you going to sell?
Some of us, we've been crying even like Lamatex.
Yeah.
Can we bring back Lamatex at least they be able to, even just in simple uniform. From school, starting from the school, going to the police, nurse, you talk about it, even defense.
But if we're able to make all the uniform for our schools, maybe we can say we can sell. But, you know, if we cannot even feed ourselves, what are we going to sell? I'm not saying we should not go there, but we must be ready at least.
Yeah, at the stage we're supposed to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Then they can find us, we are ready to face them.
Because,
but if we are, if you are the way we are, it's not much hope, seriously speaking.
Because if you open up the borders, the best business people in Africa is, the people who are very effective in terms of business and they can penetrate any market are the Nigerians, not my friends from Zimbabwe.
Ask
South Africans, young people, why they grow so much hatred to the Nigerians, because when they come to the country, they focus on business.
Exactly.
And they are in numbers, but the question is that what are we giving them?
Yeah. That's the thing now.
Just,
and looking at the situation, it's like it's already happening. Dangote is here. He's talking about putting up a pipeline going to Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And do you think that is going to benefit Namibian? Or Congo even, or somewhere in Matapati?
No, Namibian could benefit from that, and it's only when we are ready and we know exactly what we are doing.
Exactly, but I don't think we are ready even. And the pipeline, I think, is even going to us. There will be a retrenchment of what the truck drivers.
You know,
looking at the thing.
You know, I was laughing today when there was the presentation which I stated about from the board to say there's 100 million put on the table to start a project. But there was little done for that project to be successful because the complication of in terms of laws in Namibia.
Just imagine.
To say you can make a fertilizers here in Namibia.
Yeah.
You have a license, IS, I think 1000, if I'm not mistaken, from Namibia Standard Institution.
Yeah.
You can sell to
Belgium, you can sell to UK, you can sell to Japan, but you cannot sell in Namibia because the law is saying you cannot sell. Now things are collapsing. Things are collapsing, and maybe it's also a lesson to learn. Maybe next time, because not really to say blaming people. Maybe next time we'll be cautious about internal laws.
The thing is that, I'm looking at our laws, Adam, kind of like, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. You remember the issue that we start complaining about to the Tangi Bojwana? Those Tangi Bojwana come from Japan. They come through our costa, then they been taken by truck to go to Botswana. Then as an American, we take our money to go and buy from Botswana. Does it make sense?
No, it's not making sense.
And that is what is happening even for oil. South Africa go to Angola, bring the oil to South Africa, and Namibian we go to South Africa to buy from them.
In the name of SACCO. We're just supposed to fix Gungura boys and
I'm telling you, import them even. We import them, then you see even the Chula Chula where they come from, there. There's also a station for oil. Oname somewhere deep down there. There's oil. Okatope somewhere, you see?
But you know, those who can look in the future, they can be able to say that the border between Namibia and Angola, there is always is fertile for business. You remember that time of Chicago when we had US dollars in Angola?
Yeah.
And just after the US dollar is gone, now you have Ngungura. I think it's a fertile place for business. We just need to make sure that we either regulate and find a way to work.
And my brother, you know what is keeping Chicago lining? Ngungura. What else? What else in Chicago? I'm telling you. You can challenge me now. What else there? What kind of business is you can see that is lining Chicago?
There's somebody who has caught you saying Ngungura whose name is not going to be mentioned because I will be punished. It's something that need to be worked on to say, okay, you don't really need to collapse the whole the businesses that people have established services there, but you must find a way at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Because oil prices already increased.
Yeah. And when you are looking at the Mongolian, and you look at our situation, where the people are, the people who started living, and they look at them, how they achieve their success with the Mongolian. They are moving in the see different ventures. Some even they set up a guest house.
Serious.
Some even move to what from Ngungula, they are having even a long distance transport bus. I'm telling you, but they are still doing Ngungulas. I'm telling you, people are well off. But our government, they are turning the blind eye, they are concentrating those guys oil. And then now, to make it the matter was, they said those oil, they burn it. But I don't know if they burn it or they turn it to somewhere around of Namco. And that money disappear from Namco oil. You see now. What kind of, a criminal there? If Namco is doing the same and the little petrol are getting disappeared. And now you are taking from consisting the people from what who are doing Ngola.
No, I think that thing need to be worked on because when you look at Zambia, they are very, I think where they are going is something that we should learn from because this year they invest 26, they secure 26 in I think Rubito refinery in Angola. They invested because they have seen the future.
Yeah.
But
we are Namibian. We are giving us a chance to do that. And then, there was something going on with Mulunga.
My friend, it's very difficult out there.
I am telling you. Yeah. But the problem with our government, what I see, it's not like a kind of like we are, because of SACCO which are preventing us. I think it's ourselves. We are trying to have a, I think we are living a double standard. Where we are trying even to what? To just to make our friend happy. Those cousins of ours from South Africa. That yes, there's no oil going on here. They cannot. Just imagine if you are having oil from Angola. Let them say for Oshkango, anybody having a what? A garage. In Oshkango. Then you're taking a petrol from Oshkango, or Angola. Then you have also from Mondango, those people from Mondango, so they are getting from there. They will be cheap. And I'm telling you to be, when it comes to economy wise, once the petrol is cheap, things are dropping down.
No, it's the same with electricity because energy is at the center of everything. It's electricity and oil. That is only what you need to deal with. Then you are done.
I'm telling you. And the thing was also for Namibia. I think when we are having oil, why we cannot take a disadvantage and so we are putting up a refinery. Doesn't matter, we can take a loan from China. Then we put up a refinery. Because once you put up a refinery, and why, I'm sure...
Why can't you take money from African Development Bank? Why you want to go outside?
Exactly. We can go to African Bank, then we take from that. Because the number one thing, that when we're having a refinery, you are having a lot of products come from the oil.
Yeah.
We're talking about the petrol is coming out, diesel is coming out, you have a plane, also oil, you have a Vaseline, you have a grease itself, you have also tire, which we are tearing our road.
Yeah,
I think they are like 11 or 10 products that come from that.
Even 20.
Industrial.
Even 20.
Yeah, even 20.
Yeah.
And that's what we are talking about, the industrial itself, which is standing there.
So it's not easy, but it's not impossible. But
I don't think it's very difficult.
Yeah, but at least we should start somewhere,
wait for Dangote to come and set up for us. Once he set up, that is not our refinery anymore.
But maybe
he can dictate.
Maybe we can also learn to say how things are being done. But where are we starting with? Yeah, but thank you for contribution.
Okay, thank you, man.
All right. Yeah, we have 7 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. It's electricity and oil that people need to deal with. Look at South Africa. With all the problems that Africa is going through, Eskom is thriving. That is one thing you need to know. Because if you read the book by Andrew De Ruyter, it's a truth to power. He has been a CEO of Eskom for 3 years. It's a white guy, it's a boor. He said I'm a very strong boor. But things that he wrote there, I don't want you to believe everything that he wrote. But the content of the matter is that there is always a fight between the management and the KEDA deployed board members and also those who are running project to support Eskom. And he almost lost his life there at Eskom. He tried to clean up, but the system cleaned him up because the system was bigger than him. Then after that, he wrote that book. Maybe if you get time to read it, you'll be able to understand how institution work and also how institution function, particularly in the area of too much political deployed people. Now, what Ramaphosa did out of everything that happened, he made sure that he looked for an independent, well-qualified engineer to be the chairperson of the board of Eskom and also appointed other people. But now Eskom is fixed. It's operating. It's even making profit after many years of not making profit. And it's supporting South Africa. Load shedding, if you look on TikTok, on Twitter, there is nothing like load shedding. They even forget about it in South Africa. They just got their energies in order with quality leadership. It's done. You cannot hear load shedding anymore. Not even jokes. They are focusing on other things. But how are we dealing with our energy? How are we dealing with our oil? If we still continue subsidizing and subsidizing. So let us look at the caller and conclude. Good evening. How are you?
Yes, good evening, David.
Yes, how are you?
Good, man.
Oh, long time.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, nowhere to be found.
No, I'm just around. So,
okay.
I think this is your area of trade, ne?
Yeah, it's what I wanted now to minute, guys.
No. We have enough time. We have enough time. Just give your input as long as you summarize it very well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, the first what I wanted to touch is Africa free trade.
Yeah.
Africa Free Trade is nothing African have in hand.
Mm.
So that's why AGOA was never be renewed, because there is nothing that it can be African can be sell to the world or to the countries.
Mm.
So we are, for you now to say, no, South Africa is a giant and Nigeria is what, all those guys think they are selling products from outside. So if you look at South African manufacturer, car manufacturer, they are now allowing those Jiangi from China to come and penetrating their market.
Yeah.
So those cherries, what, because people are talking about Chinese get rid of the fuel cars, the petrol cars, and focusing on how to innovate it in that EV. So that is already, Ramaphosa is killing South Africa for that reason. Yeah.
Okay.
South Africa will be go down. Yeah. And us Namibians here, for example, what I wanted him also to throw out there because of ideas that we wrote in our mind.
Mm.
So we people, I don't know whether they know how to study to understanding the ambassadors that are representing us into looking for opportunity. Those relationships is also an opportunity for you to selling something from other countries.
But are you seeing that?
Yeah, because if you look at the relationship between Namibia and Angola,
yeah,
and comparing Namibia with Botswana, there is a lot of benefiting between Namibia and Botswana. But in Angola, and Angolans, they don't benefit anything from Namibia. They don't want even to hear country Namibia. Even if it could be easier for them to cross in the border. That is how the relationship between Namibia and Angola, and if you look at Uganda and Rwanda, that is the same issue. So those are the issues that we don't leading about. We are just talking, but you know, Angolans, they don't want to do business with us. So those are the issues that you need to look at. What is Angolans needing from Botswana? So, and you have a good relationship with Botswana. You go to Botswana and you negotiate it because of the currency, even Kwacha, Pula.
But Angola offered us stakes that we did not take.
Which one is that?
In oil.
No. Angola is refusing because the that was a peanut. Remember, Angola is still shorting about $4 billion, because in May this year it was requesting 4.4 billion. And the money that you're investing on that rubido is only 960 million.
It want to take over the beers. It want over 80%. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, they are good. The Angola for the natural resources is still doing good, and the world is also good with them on the, in terms of their sovereign of their resources.
But I think they have been quite peaceful. Also, there's no really conflicts.
No, the conflict but it's not a democratic country, right?
It is a democracy. It's a democracy.
No, it's not.
Why are you saying that?
Raul Lorenzo, he wants you also to continue reading the country. That is where the problem is.
Just 1 second, then we can conclude. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, just 1 minute. We're taking 1 minute from Uncle Fly before he.
Just
come in. Yeah.
So you were saying the democracy. You know what is killing countries. It's a long, prolonged leaders that they wanting to go beyond the democracy. Yeah, term. So those are the problems, that the transition is not going, because on the second term,
Yeah.
They are already manipulating the elections.
Uh-huh.
And that is where the problem of democracy never be applying in all African countries because of that.
Okay. It's time, ne?
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll talk again.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna e matina omjo. Chikao sha.
Yeah, from me, David Sombe. Bye bye for now. See you around. Living in the good hands of Mtuma team. And, sharp.